Yuka Roy joins us here in the studio. Good evening to you, Yuka. Great to see you, as always. The US Fed Reserve has cut interest rates yet again, despite having only partial data to assess the state of the economy because of the government shutdown.
Well, for the second time in a row, US monetary policymakers decided to lower the central bank's key lending rate after cutting it for the first time this year in September. The quarter percentage point cut brings the federal funds rate to a range of 3.75 to 4%, the lowest in 3 years. The ongoing government shutdown, which started on October the 1st, has delayed the release of the official monthly jobs report for September. The Federal Reserve's board used alternative data, such as a private sector hiring report and inflation data, which the Labour Department did release last week, to look at the economic picture and saw higher risks of job market deterioration. Chairman Jerome Powell, however, stressed that another rate cut in December was far from certain. Let's take a listen.
In the near term, risks to inflation are tilted to the upside and risks to employment to the downside. A challenging situation. A further reduction in the policy rate at the December meeting is not a foregone conclusion. Far from it. Policy is not on a preset course.
The Federal Reserve also announced that it would stop shrinking the size of its massive security holdings on December the 1st. During past crises like the 2009 financial crisis and the COVID-19 pandemic, the Fed bought huge amounts of treasury bonds and mortgage-backed securities to shore up the economy. At its most recent peak in 2022, its balance sheet had swelled to nearly $9 trillion. But then it started to reduce that by allowing up to $5 billion of treasury securities to mature each month and not be replaced, a move known as quantitative tightening. Now, its security holdings are worth around $6.6 trillion, but the bank has been careful not to reduce them too much, that it would create a cash crunch for banks. Now, U.S. stocks fell after the Fed chairman raised doubts about another interest rate cut later this year. Wall Street indexes recovered some ground in the final half hour of trading. The Dow Jones closed in the red. The S&P 500 ended the day flat. But the Nasdaq gained 0.5%, boosted by Nvidia, which during the session rose past $5 trillion in market value, Mark.
Which I think puts it bigger than Germany's economy, doesn't it? Which is something to really bear in mind if you think that that's one company. It's bigger than a country's economy. And a very successful country too. In other business news, Boeing's released its latest quarterly financial report. Yuka.
Well, the third quarter through the end of September produced a bit of mixed results for the plane maker Boeing, sending its shares down. While new orders drove revenue higher, delays in its wide-body 777X program have led Boeing to post over $5 billion in net loss. This even as it's making more of its 737 MAX planes, thanks to fewer restrictions. Rachel Griffiths has more.
It's the latest in a series of setbacks for Boeing. On Wednesday, the company reported a $5.4 billion third quarter loss as massive added costs from the delayed certification of its 777X aircraft weighed down its results. The 777X was central to Boeing's long-term wide-body strategy, but certification and production delays have pushed back deliveries by years. Despite the setback, Boeing's revenue has increased 30% from a year earlier, with a near 40% jump in deliveries. It also won a slew of major deals over the past few months. Its CEO remains optimistic.
While we are disappointed in the 777X schedule delay, the airplane continues to perform well in flight testing, and we remain focused on the work ahead to complete our development programs and stabilize our operations in order to fully recover our company's performance and restore trust with all our stakeholders.
While the company's chief executive maintained there were no issues with the aircraft's engine or airframe, Kelly Ortberg did acknowledge more work is needed to turn around Boeing after a series of safety problems, the most recent of which was in June when a 787 Dreamliner bound for London crashed, killing all but one on board. Since the two fatal 737 crashes in 2018 and 2019, Boeing's been facing intense FAA scrutiny over new plane certifications. The plane maker is hoping to speed up its recovery amid rising travel demand, buoyed by the FAA's decision to lift production caps on 737 MAXs from 38 to 42 earlier this month. Meanwhile, Boeing is still facing an ongoing strike from union workers in its defense unit and is working to reach a new contract agreement.
Rachel Griffiths with that report. Next, Donald Trump announced a breakthrough in trade talks with South Korea as he received a red carpet welcome and a golden crown.
Well, Mark, both sides hailed big progress made, though no agreement has been signed yet. South Korea already committed in July to pump in $350 billion of new investments into the U.S. economy in order to avoid the worst of Donald Trump's new tariffs. But talks stumbled over how those investments should be structured. The new arrangement sees Seoul injecting $200 billion in cash, but unlike Japan's $550 billion investment, in installments capped at $20 billion a year. The remaining $150 billion will go towards shipbuilding. In return, Korean cars and auto parts will be subject to a 15% import tariff, down from the current 25%. Wood products and pharmaceuticals will face the lowest tariffs among countries, while aircraft parts and generic drugs will be shipped duty-free. In a win for Seoul, its vital semiconductor exports will not be put at a disadvantage compared to their Taiwanese rivals.
So give us an overview then of US-South Korean bilateral trade.
Bilateral trade. Well, the US is South Korea's second largest trading partner and Seoul, Washington's seventh largest. But their trade is smaller than that of US-Japan and less than half of what the US exchanges with China in terms of value. Total bilateral trade in goods and services amounted to around $240 billion last year, most of that in goods. The U.S. ran a deficit of $66 billion with South Korea, something Donald Trump, of course, doesn't like. In services trade, though, the U.S. had a surplus of $11 billion. And that's it from the business desk.
Yuka, thank you very much. And Yuka, back with more business, of course, in roughly an hour's time.